Our scripture reading this morning, congregation, is taken from the book of Ruth. We're going to read God's word as we find it in Ruth chapter 3. I call attention especially to verses 10 through 13, but we'll be looking at the story as it unfolds throughout the chapter. It's on page 259 in the Pew Bibles, Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, let us listen to this word which the Lord speaks to us. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you, where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good. Let him redeem. But if he is not willing, I vow that, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." And notice verses 10 through 13, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, I vow that, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as I was reflecting on the passage that is before us this morning, the story as it unfolds here in Ruth chapter 3 this past week, I was, of course, asking myself the question again and again, what is going on here? And if you read the commentaries, they're not a great deal of help because they're all asking the question and they come up with all kinds of interesting answers and they're all over the map. And so, again, I ask, and maybe you are asking as the story unfolds, what is going on here in Ruth chapter 3? Well, let me try to answer that question this way, starting with something called the Catechism for Little Children. First question of which is this: who made you? And the answer is God. What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. How can you glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. Now, that might sound like a rather broad and all-comprehensive theme, but that's what's going on here. Ruth, together with Boaz, are embodying, they are exhibiting in their actions in relationship to each other within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of the judges, what it is to glorify God, doing what he commands, and loving each other, even as God has loved them. There's a key word in this chapter, and it's a key word right through the book of Ruth. And it's the word Boaz uses in praise of Ruth when he meets her in this rather interesting circumstance in the middle of the night by the pile, the threshing floor where the grain is threshed, and says to her, "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier," which is a reference to chapter 2, where she went into the threshing, into the field to glean the harvest to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And the word kindness there, which is used throughout the book, is the word chesed. In the old King James Version of the Bible, it's usually rendered loving kindness. It can also be rendered, and that captures it rather well, steadfast love. It's a love that will not let you go. It's relentless. It's a love that even at cost to itself goes out of its way to secure the good of another. It's the love with which God has loved us in Christ. And it's the love with which God would have his children, who bear his image and who reflect something of his glory, he would have them show to each other. Remember when we started some months ago in the book of Ruth, I told you that Ruth's commitment to the Lord was simultaneously, as is your and my commitment to the Lord, a commitment to his people. Your people, they'll be my people. Though I grew up in paganism, I've come out of darkness into the light of the gospel, and I number myself among those who belong to the Lord. And if they belong to the Lord, and I belong to the Lord, then they belong to me. And I will do whatever is necessary to secure their well-being. Just as God is relentless in his love, just as God is invincible in his intention to secure our redemption from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of our sin, and grant to us an inheritance in Christ that is imperishable, so we go out of our way in our dealings with one another to see to it as best as we can that that same love and inheritance would be shared among the people of God by myself and my children and my children's children after me, together with all the people of God into which family I have been adopted by God's grace. Now we see that in two ways in the story as it unfolds in Ruth chapter 3. We see, first of all, Ruth's loving kindness, Ruth's steadfast love as a child of the covenant, as one who knows the love of God for her, her steadfast love for Naomi, her widowed mother-in-law, and for her former husband Mahlon, and the family of Elimelech, and even for this relative of theirs, this kinsman redeemer Boaz, because she wants to do whatever she can do to ensure for Naomi a name and a place among the people of God, a share in the inheritance of God's people. She wants Naomi at the end of her life to say, I am not empty-handed, but my hands are full to overflowing. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places among the people of God. The Lord has given to me someone better than seven sons, and her name is Ruth. So great is her kindness. She'll stop at nothing to make sure that our inheritance in the Lord is unimpaired. So we see it, first of all, in the actions of Ruth, her loving kindness. But we also see it in the loving kindness of her kinsman redeemer, Boaz, who will do whatever he has to do. It ends that way. We'll stop in there this morning as well. Naomi's right. This man will not rest until the matter is settled this very day. He will do what is needed to bring about our redemption. Those are the two points. First of all, the loving kindness of Ruth, and then secondly, the loving kindness, the steadfast love of this redeemer, this kinsman redeemer, Boaz. The story starts rather strikingly in Ruth chapter 3. We're told that one day Naomi, her mother-in-law, that is Ruth's mother-in-law, says to her, my daughter, should I not try to find a home for you today? Actually, the translation there should be rest. It's the same word as is used in the first chapter where she has said, may the Lord show kindness to you. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest, will find a home, a place to settle down and enjoy the Lord's favor and kindness all your life. By the way, brothers and sisters, that's what God will ultimately grant us, a home, a place we can call our own, a dwelling place secure forever in the presence of the Lord and in the company of his people in the new heavens and in the new earth. So this is but a little vignette that tells us that we're all on the way to our eternal rest. And what is Ruth going to be told she need do in order to obtain that rest and inheritance among the people of God? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Get yourself ready for an engagement with this kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Put on your best dress, perfume, and wash yourself, make yourself presentable. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Now here's where the commentators have a field day. What sort of scheme, what kind of ploy has this scheming, clever mother-in-law Naomi put Ruth up to? By the way, it's a pretty risky business. You know earlier in the book that even Boaz was aware that this Moabitess widow would not likely, perhaps among some of his workers, receive a ready welcome. They might take advantage of her. And now she's going to go under the cover of darkness to the threshing floor where Boaz has been eating and drinking, and she's going to dress rather attractively, perfume herself, and what's this business of uncovering his feet? Well, it has a bit of a suggestion that this scheme or ploy or this proposal to her daughter-in-law of Naomi is intended to possibly seduce Boaz and get him to do what ought not to be done. I'll just leave it in that kind of preacher's talk expression. This is not told, the story, the way modern romance stories are told, where you get all the detail. This is just told rather, well, just it gives enough to suggest that something more may well be going on here. And, you know, reading Naomi's intentions or even Ruth's is an impossible business. We're not clairvoyant. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But it tells us as much as we need to know. I'll do, says Ruth, whatever you say. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. And when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, suggesting that what he drank may have been a little wine that's not only good for the stomach but makes pleasant the heart, as the psalmist says, and so he was in a fine spirit. But this was a dangerous business, nonetheless, to go all the way out there in the cover of darkness, to wait till he falls asleep. She approaches him quietly, uncovers his feet, and she lays down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. I'm reminded when I read this of the rather appropriate proverb, don't mistake temptation for an opportunity. There's enough suggestion here to say to us, as we see the story unfold, that this story might have unfolded a little differently than it actually unfolds. Boaz was in a very, very alluring position. He had at his feet a well-dressed and perfumed Moabitess whom he might have taken advantage of. In the middle of the night, under the cover of darkness. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." By the way, here the translation fails us. The language, "spread the corner of your garment," is the same word as the word "wings." Under the wings of the Almighty, Ruth had taken shelter. There's a little note there. Note well to the reader. This is a man who will not take advantage of whatever is being here suggested. He will act toward Ruth as the Lord acts toward those who take up shelter under his wings, as her protector, defender, redeemer, who has the power to do otherwise, but who does not do so. "The Lord bless you," he says, "my daughter." This kindness, this act of loyal devotion and kindness, this steadfast love of yours now is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the young men, suggesting that Boaz may be a little older and not quite a bit in the September of his life, and not necessarily the most attractive candidate for a young widow like Ruth. She's not acting for her own good. She's doing what Naomi asked her to do because she loves Naomi. She loves Naomi's people. She wants for her mother-in-law that her bitterness would turn into joy, that she would have the blessing of an inheritance among the people of God, that she would have a name and a place together with her family among the people of God. And she's willing to sacrifice her opportunities in order, it isn't really the world's greatest romance by our 21st century standards, going after an old guy because he can do for her something that is necessary to secure for her mother-in-law her well-being among the people of God. That's more than many of us would suggest to our daughters that they should do for our benefit, not their own. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Another note to the reader. In the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth comes and is nestled right alongside the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs has a chapter 31, where a woman who gives herself, a good woman who can find, as a loyal, loving, and very talented and productive, stand alongside her husband woman. She is a woman, exact language, of noble character. So this is high praise that Boaz is giving. Whatever the suggestiveness, whatever the scheming, whatever perhaps Naomi had in mind in terms of how the story would play out, it's quite possible that Naomi knows Boaz well enough from the previous encounters that she knows and anticipates that he shall respond as he responds. But the key thing here is to notice that among the people of God, in marriage and in family, and in that which we do in order to secure for others their well-being in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's of that that Ruth's loving kindness speaks. I don't know where she was catechized, having grown up in Moab, but apparently she had heard enough about the Lord of the covenant and of his kindness and patience, his self-denying actions in order to secure the welfare of his beloved, his people, that she acts the way she does. There are, I think I said this last time, echoes here too of the way a woman, namely the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way the woman whom God gave to Adam before the fall, Eve, acts in being presented to her or to him. And the delight that Adam takes in her, Boaz takes in Ruth. And our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes when he sees such loving kindness in us. But now the second thing, we'll have more time to develop it this evening when we go into this business of the kinsman redeemer. What about the loving kindness of Boaz? Well, it's all over the page. He doesn't take advantage of this Moabitess woman who's put herself in a very vulnerable position. He keeps his wits about him even in the middle of the night. I don't know what you're like when you wake up startled out of your slumber, crabby and discontented, leave him alone for a few hours until he's had breakfast. I don't know. It's remarkable how Boaz is presented in this story. He has his wits about him immediately in the dead of night, and he does not take advantage of her. He recognizes immediately that this is a woman whom he says is of noble character, and that I am near of kin. I'm a kinsman redeemer. I'm in a position to be helpful to her, to redeem her and her mother-in-law and family, to purchase them back from their distress and to fill their hands with the good things of God's house. Stay here, he says, for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem this other fellow who is a closer kin than I am, more on that this evening. In the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, I vow that, he says. I'm at the ready. I'm prepared to give myself completely to my responsibility and opportunity to do for you and your mother-in-law and family what needs to be done. By the way, that's a good definition of kindness. You see a brother or a sister in need, whatever it is, they're lonely, they're perplexed, they lost their job, they suffered the loss of a child, a parent. What does kindness do? It sets aside its own convenience and it does what it can to answer to the need of another. These are my family. These are my brothers and sisters. Their hurts are my hurts, their pains. I share their pain. I rejoice too when they rejoice. These are my family. I'm a brother, a kin. Am I my brother's keeper? Remarkable portrait. The story as it ends there. He says, bring me the shawl. He makes sure that she leaves under the cover of darkness so no one sees and draws the wrong conclusion. And he says, get your shawl and hold it out. And he fills it with 6 measures of barley and puts it on her back. And she goes back to town and reports to her mother-in-law, who says, how did it go? I'm sure she was waiting to hear. How did it go at the threshing floor, my daughter? And she tells her everything, quite excitedly, I'm sure, that he had done for her, and adds, he gave me these 6 measures of barley. You remember, Naomi, how you said, I went away full from the house of bread Bethlehem, and I came back empty-handed. God will put a lie to the words you spoke. He will not leave you empty-handed. Here are 6 measures of barley, just for good measure, to illustrate the point. And then Naomi says, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. You'd really like me to go right into chapter 4 now, right? You want to hear how it's going to turn out? Well, I've been advertising the evening service. We'll look at chapter 4 this evening, Lord willing. I love the language with which the text ends. I don't think you can call Boaz necessarily in the full sense of the term a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he sure looks like him. Do you think our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, will let anything stand in the way that he will rest until the matter is settled? Isn't that something? Our brother, who took, we read earlier in the service, the likeness of your and my sinful flesh, he came down. He went a long way from where he was. Though he was rich, says Paul, yet for our sakes he became poor. He stopped at nothing. He was willing to lose everything in the way of prerogative, advantage, privilege. What? Why? In order to secure our redemption, to release us from the tyranny of the devil, to free us up from the fear of death, to give us the hope of eternal life, to fill our hands with the good things of God's house. He's not like that elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son who says, well, why would you give everything, Father, to this worthless son of yours who's wasted your life in riotous living? Well, because I'm a God who welcomes sinners and takes them in. He will not rest, says Naomi. This Boaz will be a bustle and a hustle of activity. He will move heaven and earth. He will stop at nothing. He stands at the ready to do for you what needs doing. And there's one greater than Boaz. Boys and girls, I hope you're hearing the story through your parents and in church, and the story never grows old. about the great kindness and the extraordinary reach of the love of our Savior. And everything that is ours in Him. A name, a place, an inheritance. More about that this evening. You see, this story is all about the loving kindness of our God, which is on open display among the people and house of God in the way Ruth and Boaz. You see, Ruth made a good choice, didn't she? Your people, they're my people. Your God, my God. Till death do us part. Do you know that loving kindness of your kinsman redeemer? Are there little bit of pieces of it, sparks of it, evident in the kindness you're prepared to show to your brothers and sisters? Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, that you are a God who is kind and loving, steadfast in your love, a God who is willing to do for us what needs to be done to secure and redeem us, to give us a place among your people. And you've done it for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. May we rejoice in him. May we love to tell the story of what he has done and is doing for us. And may we in kind also so do and act in our dealings with one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing as our